Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
A landmark district court case here means users of e-bikes involved in collisions with other road users may be held liable for any injuries caused. Now, the case was overseen by Judge Anthony Halpin. It involved a jogger who was injured by someone on an e-bike. A core issue that emerged was whether the e-bike was not only a vehicle, which is all that's required for a prosecution for careless or dangerous driving, but also whether it was a mechanically propelled vehicle. Well, for more on the implications of this, I'm joined by personal injury solicitor and senior counsel Stuart Gilhooly. Good morning, Stuart.
Morning, Claire.
I don't want to get into huge detail about the case in question, but more about the fact that it might serve as a warning to anyone with an e-bike, because the law has changed. If it's a powerful bike now, it might need to be insured. Is that where we are?
Yeah, it is. So I think you need to be very careful when you're purchasing an e-bike now as to make sure that what size engine it has effectively. So the rule is if it's under 250 watts, then it's still deemed to be a pedal bike and it doesn't require insurance. But if it's over 250 watts, it is deemed to be a mechanically propelled vehicle, which under the law requires insurance. So I think that's probably something that wasn't entirely clear, although, I mean, it has been the law now for just less than a year. It changed in May 2024, and I think people probably weren't fully aware that this was how it was going to play out, and maybe it needed this event, which I think will serve as a wake-up call for people. Mm-hmm.
So people need to go and check. If you have an e-bike, you need to check what wattage it is to figure out which category you fall into.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, you know, I think, just to be clear, if you run into somebody on a bike, or whether it's mechanically propelled or not, technically you could be liable in damages for any injuries you cause them, no matter whether it's an e-bike or not. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, in some ways, it's the better thing, because you can now get insurance for your bike to cover you if that sort of event ever happens. And perhaps it may be no harm for anybody who has an e-bike, whether it's below that wattage or not, to try and get some insurance to cover yourself in those circumstances. But I suppose you are far more likely to cause an injury to somebody if you have a higher power bike than if you have, say, a lower one. You know, obviously that just means that you'll be going a lot faster.
And are you seeing many cases, Stuart, of people who are being injured or claim that they've been injured by people who are on e-bikes?
Yeah, I've had a few, before the law changed as well. So, I mean, the reality is that I've had a couple of people who have been quite seriously injured by people cycling fairly high power bikes. I mean, they're not that much different to motorbikes. And I mean, in theory, any bicycle can go quite fast. You can certainly go 40 or 50 kilometres an hour. And if you're hit by anything at 40 or 50 kilometres an hour, you're going to be injured. So, I mean, that does happen from time to time. But I've ended up taking cases against the Motor Insurers Bureau because they actually cover uninsured vehicles. And there's always been an obligation for people who drive mechanically powered vehicles to have insurance. So, in fact, the new law, what it means is, it means that anybody under the 250 wattage doesn't have to have insurance. So, in other words, you can't claim against the Motor Insurance Bureau. But if you're over that, you definitely can now.
Right. Well, now there's bound to be a big campaign. If the Motor Insurance Bureau is picking up the tab here, there's going to have to be a campaign, surely, to advise people that they need to take out insurance for these things.
Yeah, I think there should be, because I just don't think people are aware of this. At the time when the law changed a year ago, I think there was a little bit of a campaign, but I didn't see much of it, I have to say now, and I certainly don't think that this has got out into the general public that this is a requirement. And it is certainly, I think people will find, you know, they could find themselves personally liable. So, for instance, if you have an e-bike and you knock somebody over and you're not insured, so a person like myself, a sister like myself, will sue the Motor Insurance Bureau, but the Bureau will try and get the money back from you if they pay out. So if they have to pay out thousands to somebody for an injury that they have, they'll say, well, you know, well, you caused it, you didn't have insurance, we're coming after you for it. So it is it's a concern for anyone with an e-bike.
But you're aware that you can get insurance for an e-bike, can you?
Oh, you can get it. There is insurance available. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but you can be certain that where the money's been made, insurance companies will always be there trying to get as much money out of people as possible. Mm-hmm. So you can get it, definitely. I'd imagine it probably isn't as expensive as it is for the likes of, say, a motorbike or certainly a car, because, you know, they don't reach the same speeds in general, but I'd say it will cost you.
So now, are we entering into a whole new phase with these things where you'll have to be deemed competent to be in charge of this vehicle? You know, you can't have taken a drink, so it has to be roadworthy. Is this the road we're going down here?
Well, just take it on. If your vehicle, if your e-bike is over 250 watts, now most of them aren't, by the way. Most e-bikes aren't in that category. So, but there are those who are. But if you are, if you have an e-bike that's in that category, that's over 250 watts, then that's a motorbike. That is effectively what that is. You might just take it that that's treated effectively in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't drink. I mean, you're not supposed to drink on a bicycle either, by the way. But I mean, you know, I don't think that tends to be, taken as seriously by the police as maybe it should be. But you know, there tends to be a lot less prosecutions for things like that. But certainly, if somebody is caught, say, drink cycling on an e-bike, then they're going to be in quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah, but they need an NCT then as well if it's going to be classified as a vehicle, right?
I'm not sure if that's required. I haven't seen anything about that. I don't know actually.
But this is the thing. Do you see what I mean, though? If we're going to call these things vehicles, there's all sorts of considerations now that are going to come into play. And those powerful e-bikes that you describe, you know, can you use a cycle lane when you're on one?
You can't. No, you can't. You can use it if you're on the smaller e-bike, the 250 watts ones, but you certainly can't because your only pedal bikes can use a cycle lane.
It's going to be confusing. I don't know if you would agree, Stuart. I mean, I saw one the other morning. It looked like a bike, but the person was motionless on it and it was just driving itself along. I mean, surely that is what we mean here, right? You don't have to do anything to propel it.
But equally, that could be one that's below 250 watts, can only go up to 25 kilometres an hour. So, you know, there are some that kind of look like they're e-bikes and people aren't pedalling, but they could be actually in the limit that's still causing a pedal bike. This is why you need to be so vigilant and so careful when you buy it to determine which type of bike it is and what type of motor it has.
Right, well, there needs to be clarity given around this, would you say, and some sort of an information campaign.
I think there really does. I mean, it's not something that's simple. E-bikes are a big business now. You see e-bike shops popping up all over the place. They're a lot more popular than they were even, say, 5 years ago. So I think it's something that really does need to be looked at very seriously. And I think there should be a lot of pressure on those who are selling e-bikes to make sure that they inform the people who are buying them what the requirements are.
Stuart, thank you very much. Stuart Gilhooly there, who's a personal injuries solicitor.